So in Galatians chapter 3, Paul has just given us a series of questions. A series of questions that people are to ask that helps bring clarity to their faith. Who is the source of what I am believing? Verse 2, how did I receive the Spirit? Verse 3, how am I perfected? Is it by the works of the flesh or is it by the Spirit? Verse 4, what am I willing to suffer for? And does my suffering have purpose? Verse 5, what is the basis of your faith and of the Spirit being in your life? Is it by works of the law or the hearing of faith? These questions bring clarity, and the apostle writes this in this letter to the Galatians, who are facing some false teaching in their midst. There is a syncretism, and syncretism, what that means is it's a combination of multiple belief systems to make one belief system. It's a new belief system. It's a belief system that is compromise. It is a belief system that is meant to serve men and their own desires. The true gospel of the scriptures cannot, must not be syncretized, be diluted. The true gospel is what Paul desires the Galatians and us here today to embrace and to live. Galatians chapter 3 introduces to us something that Paul has not mentioned, someone that Paul has not mentioned by name yet in this letter, and that is the Holy Spirit. We will see frequently throughout the rest of this book the Holy Spirit mentioned. But sadly, in our Christian circles, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned often because I believe at times there is a fear that we might... Well, you know what? I believe it's because we don't understand Him. And we don't understand the full role of that He plays in the life of a Christian and in the life of the church. Perhaps you've heard about the gifts of the Spirit. Yes, God gives His people, members of the church, abilities and gifts to be used for His service. But we have seen, as we noted in the first five verses, the Spirit is someone that Paul wants the Galatians to understand and know how He works, and how the Spirit is someone that is received at the time of salvation. The Spirit is the one who initiates and regenerates a person. The Spirit is the one who oversees the sanctification of your life. That is the process of you becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. The Spirit is Jesus Christ's representative to us here on earth, because Jesus said when He returned back to heaven, He would send the Spirit to live within His people and to guide His people unto all truth. So in Galatians chapter 3, after this series of questions, verse 6, Paul writes, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." How does that fit? Well, look at verse 5. "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" That last phrase, hearing of faith, is key to what comes next. Paul wants the church to major on faith and to understand that faith It hears. And what does it hear? It hears the word of God. And Paul draws a clear distinction between this hearing of faith and the works of the law. Whereas the works of the law are in the flesh, the works of the law are things that you and I can control, that we can try to do, to keep. And I say try is because none of us are perfect. None can keep the law. There was ever only one person that walked this earth, Jesus Christ, fully man yet fully God, who lived life perfectly without sin. So we see, and we're going to talk today about the hearing of faith, and first Paul gives us an example, and that example is that Abraham believed God. Verse 6 again, as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This is more than just a fancy phrase. This is not a new concept, but something that has been established. Let's look at Abraham, this example. Now, first of all, why Abraham? Why would Paul choose Abraham when he's speaking to the Galatians? Churches, a collection of churches on Asia Minor. Let's remember, Galatians was written fairly early in the first century, or about the mid-first century, so early in the existence of the church. The church began with Jews. The church began in Jerusalem and then spread throughout Judea, then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth, which is where we are today. The Jews considered themselves Abraham's seed. And Jesus, in his dialogue with the Jews in John chapter 8, makes this very clear. And just listen to what John chapter 8 in verse 33 says. John 8:33 says this. They answered him, that is the Jews, "We be Abraham's seed," they say, "and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that you shall be made free?" And Jesus' response is, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed." Jesus acknowledges this. "But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." And he continues in his dialogue with Jews that do not believe he is God. So the Jews consider themselves Abraham's seed. In this same passage in John 8, they consider Abraham their father. And indeed, he was their forefather. Abraham was the patriarch with whom God chose to initiate the covenant. It's commonly called the Abrahamic covenant. And you find it laid out in Genesis chapter 12 and following various times to Abraham, repeated to his son Isaac, and then to Jacob. It is this covenant that takes the promise of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that where God says that he would send someone to vanquish, to have victory over the devil. It is this covenant that takes that promise and zeroes and focuses it in on a family, on Abraham and his descendants. And this was a beginning of a series of promises and covenants that God made that narrowed the focus of his salvation plan and of the Savior to come. That is Jesus Christ. And it is fascinating to watch throughout the Bible these varying promises and covenants as they unfold. such as Abraham had two children. Well, I think he had more than that, but two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Ishmael, and we'll talk further, Ishmael was born out of the flesh because Abraham and Sarah had a hard time trusting God. They were old, and God had promised them a son. But then God gave them the promised son, Isaac. And then through Isaac came Jacob and Esau, and God clearly set apart Jacob. Jacob's name was changed later to Israel. One of Jacob's 12 sons was named Judah. And Judah, when he was blessed by his father, was told that the scepter would not depart from his line. In the line of Judah was David. David, commonly considered the greatest king of Israel. And to David was given this promise and this covenant that of his seed there would be someone who sits on his throne and rules forever. And we come to the New Testament, and the genealogies do matter. They do make sense because they explain and they connect for us these promises and these covenants to whom? To Jesus. To Jesus Christ. And so the example is Abraham, a respected figure in the history of the Jewish people. And Paul wants to show through Abraham how God has always brought about the salvation of his people. And we saw that in our reading today as well in Romans chapter 3 and 4. So, talking about the hearing of faith, Paul gives the example. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. That word accounted is an accounting term. It is laid to his account. Oh, dear ones, listen. This is so beautiful. For justification, being declared righteous before God, is something that we all long for. But sadly, so many are confused about how this comes to be. It is not by the works of the law, works of the flesh. It is only through the hearing of faith. Abraham believed God. God spoke, and Abraham believed, and the scriptures, the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, says almost this exact same thing. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted, laid on his account, as righteousness. Now, you might step back and you might say, well, that just does not make sense. Accounting deals with dollars and cents, with expenses and income. You got to have the money there to spend it. And what have I offered? What have I done that I might have righteousness added to my account? And hence the long and confusing road that so many people travel down, and so few seem to find their way back. But it's this message of Galatians that pierces into their hearts, that seeks to show them that way of self, the way of the works of the law, will lead them nowhere. And it frustrates the grace of God and essentially renders Christ's crucifixion of none effect. I trust you're here today, and I trust you have believed the Word of God. That's what God has given to us. And the Word of God is trustworthy. The Word of God is reliable. And the Word of God tells us the beauty of salvation by grace through faith. Do you believe that? This example is not just for the Jews, but it is for us today. Because Abraham was given a covenant. In the midst of that covenant, and we're going to see that, through him all the nations shall be blessed. That's us here today. Not only does he gives this example, Abraham, and we're going to follow that example for quite some time. But I want you to notice the extent here. The hearing of faith reaches whom? Verse 7, know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Who is he talking about? Who is this for? They which are of faith. You know, why I was thinking through this. Why do I struggle so to walk by faith? Why? Why do I, for some weird reason, find it easier to do things my way, to put forth lots of effort and try, do? Why? Why not walk by faith? Because a walk by faith, and this is some, I'm learning this, church. I don't have a handle on this. But I'm learning that a walk by faith demands what? A reliance in the Spirit, a walk in the Spirit. Hence, Galatians chapter 5 tells us, walk in the Spirit and you're not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're going to get there. But listen, the Spirit is a spirit. And I like control. I like to be able to control things. And the Spirit, I can't control. There's risk. Because I can't control. When I say risk, I mean that with all reverence. From my human perspective, there are things I cannot see. But I am called to believe that the Spirit of God can see, and that God wants to guide me through His Spirit. And so, this hearing of faith, we see the example is Abraham. He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. This hearing of faith, there is an extent in this example of those who are of the faith. The same are the children of Abraham. Children here cannot mean strictly just physical descendants, for that would eliminate all Gentiles who believe, as well as all believers prior to Abraham, such as Adam, Abel, Enoch, Noah. So as we consider the extent of this, the definition that he gives, those who are of faith, is important. And the know in verse 7 is an imperative, giving instruction. You need to know this, know well, that you therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Why is this important? This is because he is seeking to illustrate through Abraham the importance of faith, and he wants to connect those of us who are of faith with this Abraham for the purpose of unfolding this illustration and helping us understand the hearing of faith. We see here that Paul gives this category of children, spiritual descendants, if you will, those who bear the same spiritual DNA as Abraham. Looking at verse 8, we see evidence. and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. We have the example being of Abraham, the extent, those who are of faith, the evidence, it's the scripture that is preached. The scriptures provide strong proof of Paul's point. And one thing I love about the scriptures, it's unified. And Paul makes reference back to the Old Testament scriptures. And Jesus does the same. Other New Testament writers do the same to help provide foundation for what they are teaching. And so we see it here as well. The evidence is in the scriptures. And what do we see? The scriptures foresee. Now, the scriptures, if you were strictly to say that they are the black and white words on a page in a bound book, can they really see? Any common sense would tell you, no, this cannot see. So then what does Paul mean that the scriptures foresee? This is a verb. Oh, I love how it portrays for us that the true author, God, it portrays his omniscience and how God has given us the living word, the scriptures, and how it pierces through into our hearts even today. And it reminds us that God knows all things. And even the Old Testament scriptures foresaw what was to come. What is it? The scripture, verse 8, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. The scriptures preached before the good news, or shall I say, were the scriptures were proclaiming the good news beforehand, implies that this good news is something God has been declaring all along. The scriptures are to be trusted and used in the establishment of our faith. So what is the evidence that God would justify the heathen through faith? Who's the heathen? Us. Do you like being called a heathen? That's probably one of the words that would not be looked upon very kindly out there in the world. But the heathen, those who have grown up and lived apart from the things of God. And God says the scriptures, the evidence is that God would justify the heathen through faith. The supporting quote that he gives in the end of verse 8 is, in thee shall all nations be blessed. A quote taken directly from God's covenant he made with Abraham. In that covenant, there was three parts. God promised the land, God promised a seed, and God promised a blessing. And that blessing here stated, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. And this is what God told Abraham. And embedded in that, Paul wants us, and he wants the Galatians to see that all along, it's been by faith. All along, God had a plan to bless the nations and to do so through Abraham. And as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so the same is true today. So his conclusion that he will build off of in further verses is found in verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Those who be of faith, that word blessed, present tense, are blessed. It's a word that means implies a coherence or an intimate connection. And so we see that those which be of faith have an intimate connection with the very Abraham of old. And he has given this descriptor, faithful. Faithful. The blessing given to Abraham includes those who be of faith. What is the value of such a blessing? It is given by God, who can most assuredly carry it out. I'm sharing this with you because I want you to enjoy and give praise to God for the blessing that is in your life today if you are a believer in Jesus Christ by faith. This blessing is something that is given by the very God, living God, Creator. He can keep His word. This promise is of goodness upon those of faith. That's the implication of blessedness. Goodness upon you. This blessing includes all nations, which means that it spans, get this, all cultures, all times, all languages, all generations. So why understand this? What's the big deal about faith? Faith hears. What does it hear? It hears the word of God. Abraham is a great example for this. This is for those who are of faith. The scriptures provide support and evidence for this. And so, those who are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are you blessed today? If you understand that you are of faith, that you are one who has trusted in the grace of God, that through Jesus Christ and His shed blood upon the cross and the resurrection that followed, that through His death you find forgiveness of sins, and you believe that by faith and not by the works of the law, you're blessed today. The incredible large arms of the Creator God have wrapped themselves around you and hold you tightly, that you might know the beat of His heart and to know the tenderness and goodness of His mighty power. Church, you are blessed. And Paul will continue to unfold and use this example to build our confidence in faith and to push us further and further away from what gets so many people in trouble, this feeling of, God, I've got to do to merit salvation. This is what we're learning together. This is what God is communicating to us through this letter. This is what God was communicating to the church and churches in Galatia. So are you blessed today? Are you a person of faith? And I don't mean that generically. The faith. Are you believing the word of God? I've told you this before, but my testimony falls right into this, because as a young man, I said I believed in God. I acted like I believed in God. I acted like a person of faith on the outside. But on the inside, I was all about what I can do, how I can please people. And my walk was one of fear. And it wasn't until God initiated in my heart through the preaching of the Word of God to go to my Father and tell Him the fears of my heart. And my Father, my human Father, who loves Jesus today and did then, took me, and what did He do? He showed me the Scriptures. So from that day on, I was able to walk, what? According to the Scriptures. The evidence was laid out. The eternal, powerful, living Word of God. And so I returned there often. Because the temptation is there to do. To try to usurp the control and live the way I think I should live. How are you doing with all of that? That's my personal experience. Yours is going to be different, but the truth remains the same. The Scriptures provide solid, clear evidence. And I trust today you rejoice in the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this beautiful time together with your people. It has been enriching and encouraging. And I've enjoyed it, but it's not about that. Lord, I believe you've enjoyed it as we have sought to lift you up. Amen.